The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we've had some truly magnificent sunny days over the summer, but most notably the heat wave in early July. But with the end of summer approaching, alas, and autumn knocking on our door, you might be tempted to pack away the sunscreen, but should you? UV light can cause damage all year round, and according to research by Lidl, only 8% of the population are actually following expert sun protection advice. And additionally, only 1 in 6 Irish men aged 55 or more admit to ever using a sunscreen. Well, I'm joined now by Lidl ambassador, television presenter, Dahi O'Shea. Dahi, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, do you have experience of sun damage?
I do, to be honest. I was getting made up one day to go on TV, and I had this little bump really inside my eyebrow, and it just wasn't going away. And I thought it was an ingrown hair.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't going away. And I thought I was agitating it every day by taking off the makeup, and it wasn't healing. So I was getting my bloods done by the doctor, and I said, Doc, will you have a look at that? He said, you should get that checked out. So I went in to the specialist down in Cork, and she says, that's going to have to come out because that's cancerous.
Okay, and was it a...
It was sun damage.
Because was it a BCC? Or,
yeah, BCC.
Yeah, a BCC.
So it was only about a millimetre in radius, so it was very, very small. But they had to cut into the muscle inside over my eye. There was 3 stitches inside and 5 on the outside, and that's all due to skin damage, Pat.
So well, I have to say, you still look blemish-free.
Thank you very much, Pat, but and I want to stay that way. But I didn't realise how important it was to have factor 50 every day, even if the weather is cloudy, if it's rainy, Pat, it doesn't matter. Even on the back of your hands when you're driving the car. I didn't know any of this until this happened to me.
It's trying to get the message across to men particularly, because a lot of women will use sunscreen on their face,
yes.
But maybe not on their hands.
Yeah, and that's very, very important as well. But men over 55 and men as well between 18 and 35 are very, very slack when it comes to this. And I think it comes down to maybe to education in one sense, Pat, because there isn't a tradition of us doing it, I suppose. So we weren't doing it up until now. But I think that is all changing as well. The sun is changing and we just need to do something. And the longer you do without it, the more damage it can cause.
Hmm. Now, time was, I suppose, you had the farmers out there,
yes.
And they would be exposed. And there would be a relatively high incidence of BCCs in farmers.
So, certainly. And even my own father, he was a truck driver, Pat. And during the summer, his right arm was as brown as a berry.
Yeah.
Because his hand was outside the window all the time. And I don't think he put on sunscreen ever, but we know better now and we can do something about it.
Yeah.
So even when it's raining, even during the winter, it doesn't matter. Put on the factor 50.
Yeah, and I mean, there'll be people say, Asher, I know someone who used
yeah.
baby oil, for example.
Yeah, and we all know them, Pat, but we also know people who smoke cigarettes never had lung cancer. Do you
yeah.
know what I mean? It's the same thing, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't protect ourselves because we know what we're dealing with now. I couldn't believe in that survey either, that 23% rarely or never put on sunscreen. Which is crazy.
Yeah. Now, you've got a big time ahead of you because
yes.
the rose is happening. When is the first rose arrived?
The first rose they're coming in at the moment. We are meeting them all on Monday, and then on Tuesday there's a big launch, so we get to know them a bit better. But between now and then, I'm heading off to the flat, Pat. I have about 6 shows to do at the weekend, and then on to the roses. But the roses truly is always a very, very exciting time. It's a chance to get home to Kerry. And I know you had Andrea Gilligan on there a while ago, yeah. and I met her the evening of the All-Ireland, Pat.
Oh, she must have been very upset.
She was very, very upset. But just to let Andrea and all of her friends know that the Sam Maguire is down in Kerry waiting for us and all the roses to arrive next Friday evening.
Oh, all right. But no hard feelings,
no
obviously.
No hard feelings at all. Yeah.
Now, how much involvement do you have with the roses when they arrive? I mean, you've obviously got your flat to do.
Yeah.
And then you have your big nights with the roses. But how much prep do you do?
Do you know what? There's probably about 9 good days inside it. We'll meet them all next Monday. We meet them all one by one, and then we meet them in groups, and then there's a launch where we're all together. But the hanging out with them is more important than anything, Pat, because the main job of any host is to make sure that in the Rosa Therese case is that the rose is happy on stage, comfortable, and we see the best side of the rose on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't come by learning scripts or anything like that. That comes by talking to people, I think. So
they feel comfortable with you when they walk on.
100%. Yeah. That's it.
And you know, the party piece, not
yes.
all of them get to do a party piece.
No, not all.
What's the rule?
The rule, there was a ban on poetry for a while because I think every second person had a poem. But the poems have come back in bit by bit over the last year or two.
And were they endless? Was that the problem?
They were, you know, it's just, like say, there's the Rosa Tree and there's also the entertainment side for TV as well. And we're always trying to strike the right balance there as well between.
So if
light
everyone
and
wants to hoosh up their dress and do an Irish dance,
that won't happen either.
That won't happen.
That won't happen either. Now, say a few years ago, we had a rose from Kildare called Ashley Byrne, and chatting to her during the week, she said she likes to get into ice baths. And for some stupid reason, Pat, I said out loud, saying, "I'll get into an ice bath live on stage," and that happened.
That happened.
But I suppose the added part of it as well, my pants was done up with Velcro, so I got to whip off the pants on stage as well, Pat. Something I haven't done in a long time. And into the ice bath I went. So those type of party pieces as well really, really add to it. But that just comes down to the rose.
But you don't know yet what lies ahead.
No, and like we'll get to know them on Monday and Tuesday, but it's really the Friday, Saturday and Sunday before the TV shows Monday and Tuesday that all that magic happens. That's where you kind of, that's where we're, I suppose, at ease around them and them around us as well. And I suppose the wall comes down a little bit as well, and you can have a bit
now,
of fun.
Now, happily,
with it.
You're not an adjudicator.
No.
You don't have to make up your mind. I remember years ago being warned never to do a Bonnie Baby competition because 20 babies, one mother loves you forever, the other 19 hate
That's
you.
True. Yes, but I was an adjudicator though, Pat. I was on the judging panel for the Rose of Tralee the year my wife was in it and she didn't win it. So
and she forgave you.
Her mother hasn't spoken to me since. I'm only joking. So listen, I always said she got the big prize at the end, if that was any consolation at all, Pat. Whether she'll agree or not, I don't know.
So it'll be a lot of hard work and a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has to be fun. It really has to be fun because, like, so what are we promoting? Like, we're promoting Irish women. We are celebrating Irish women in society, Irish women here in Ireland and all around the world. We're promoting Kerry. We're promoting Tralee. And the only way to do that, I think, is to have a good bit of fun with it, Pat.
Yeah. Now, you know, the critics are there saying this is, it belongs to the Stone Age. It doesn't has no part in modern life. What do you say to those critics?
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but for me, I can give them my explanation about the Rose of Tralee is, and it goes back to what I just said, that the Rose of Tralee is a celebration of Irishness. It's a celebration of Irish women. And when is the celebration of Irish women out of date? And when you think about it, say, if you went back to, say, 1974, for example, you'd have a lot of the roses who would have been nurses, teachers and so on, but who would have been seen as female skewed jobs then. This year, I bet you, we're going to have doctors, we're going to have engineers, we could have plasters, roses who drive tractors, and no one will bat an eyelid. So it gives you a good insight to what women are doing in a particular year as well. And this is what ambitious women do. They put themselves forward. Like, but I think the point that a lot of people miss every year is that it's not easy to go up on a stage in front of 2,000 people in front of you and however many hundreds of thousand people at home and to tell your life story. Mm. It's one thing to go up to tell a funny story, but to go up to tell a story that you lost your father or you lost your brother through suicide. We've had these stories on stage, or to lose a parent through drug addiction. We've had these, and to hear these people on stage and to come across so well, I think is a testament to them.
It strikes me that your experience during the Rose has fitted you out for your other job, which is an agony uncle.
An agony uncle, yes. Another peculiar swing, Pat. Esther McCarthy from the Irish Examiner asked me a few years ago, would I be interested in doing something like that? And it coincided with me doing a college course. I finished my own college degree in 99. Hadn't gone to college since. Now, to mind to do an online course, which I thought was a bit bizarre in the beginning, which I thought was kind of very natural, then every Wednesday evening. So I have a professional diploma in coaching and mentoring with a big focus on conflict coaching. So that's where a lot of the answers will come out from the column.
I thought you'd be like De Valera. You just look into your own heart.
Well, you can't write that every week, I'm afraid, Pat, you know.
Now, the other thing, you mentioned the flaws, the flaw is an Irish word, and there is a bit of a resurgence in the use of the Irish language and the learning of the Irish language. Are you observing that?
Yeah, yes, certainly. But I'd have always been lucky enough, Pat, that people knew for a long time and know for a long time that I speak Irish, and people would come up speaking Irish to me and they might only have a few sentences and they'll say, look, that's all I have. Well, sure, look, that's a great start. I find myself that I don't have to defend it as much, which is good, which shows that we've turned a corner. I think you have the likes of, say, what T.G. Carr have been doing. You have the Gaelscoil movement have been very, very strong.
And then you've got a popular cultural phenomenon like kneecap.
Kneecap, 100%. Again, all these different strands feeding into a very, very positive thing, you know. And you have social media has really adapted itself as well to the Irish language. I think we have a lot to do. We have to keep going the way we are. Like, say, social media is good for Irish, but it's good for everything else as well. So there's lots of content out there. But I think the chip that a lot of people had on their shoulders when it has come to the language has changed. Definitely, you need to look at the educational system and what's happening there. People are saying it should be compulsory. People say it shouldn't. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, Pat.
It should be spoken. That's the main thing.
I think everybody should be made do Irish as a spoken language with full marks for the living.
Because the Gramadach can be very.
But it can. But Pat, but see the thing about it. Could you imagine if you were over New York and if you made a mistake when it comes to grammar? Is anybody going to correct you? No, they're not. Like, and it should be the exact same thing in Irish. Once A understands B outside of an exam context, that's it. It's conversational. I'll go shin shin.
Because that's the way it was in our school, the Christian Brothers School, O'Connell School. It was the language of the classroom. I mean, it was, you were never a fool, you were a plaika.
Plaika, yeah. But there was an extra sting in the plaika as well as opposed to a fool, which was good. But I listen to you most mornings, Pat, and I know from even the way you kind of phrase things in Irish, well, that I'd know, say, that if I brought you back to the Gaeltacht, that we'd be speaking Irish the following week together.
Yeah, well, any time I've gone west or southwest, not so much in Donegal, because they speak a language that...
It's beautiful, though. It's beautiful. It's different, but it's beautiful.
Good jammer at that.
It's very sexy.
Well, you said it. You'll have Andrea blushing again.
At least she's talking to me again, Pat.
A couple of things here.
Yes.
How do they decide who gets to do their first choice of party piece and who has to switch? Does it depend on the level of talent? Or is it lottery?
It can be a lottery, and it can be sometimes where you come in the show as well. For example, you're not going to have three American roses back to back. You're not going to have three Irish roses. We're trying to split them all up as well. And sometimes people may want to do it and they're only kind of 50-50 about it, and sometimes they will opt out because it becomes about the performance as opposed to the chat on stage.
And someone else wants to know, is there a portal where the public can volunteer Dahi to do a stunt on stage?
Oh, I think we're on it, Pat.
I'm sure particularly our American cousins will find something inventive and creative for you
with the help of God.
Dahi, it's great to see you.
Good morning,
we don't
Pat.
Get to see each other very often, but it's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Thank
Good
you very much, Dahi O'Shea. Now, a reminder that our items from today are uploaded to this podcast, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on Newstalk.